This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. It's our Counselor's Corner show today, where we have a licensed counselor in the studio to answer your questions related to mental and emotional well-being and any issues that you're going through. And this month, we are putting the spotlight on mothers' mental well-being. I mean, it's May, is that time of the month where you start seeing all these ads popping up suggesting top 10 gifts for mom, flowers to buy for Mother's Day. But really, I think maybe the most fundamental thing is whether anybody is stopping to ask their mom, how are you doing? What support do you need? And particularly during the most vulnerable time mothers go through, which is typically pregnancy and post-delivery, during those months when baby is really young and mother is going through a lot hormonally as well as physically, mentally and socially. So our licensed counselor in the studio today is Hiren Kaur, and we will be getting her to explore with us about maternal mental health. And we would like to hear from you, your questions or your thoughts that you'd like to share about postpartum depression, parenting stress, or any concerns you may have if you are a mother, or if you're concerned about perhaps your partner's mental health. The number to call is 03-7733-2900, or you can WhatsApp our U mobile number 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Hiren, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. Always look forward to coming in. Always a pleasure to be with you, Xiaoyik.
All right. And we're both moms, so I think this topic particularly resonates with us as well, right? This is a broad question to just get us started thinking about the issues, I guess. How does motherhood and parenting affect women's mental health?
That's an excellent question. Of course, the physical, physiological changes, most of us, we know about those, including morning sickness, nausea, breasts growing very quickly, loosening of joints to accommodate the baby, and the one that we all hate the most, more fat accumulation.
The weight gain.
Yeah. But, you know, what about the brain, right? Now, we know, thanks to MRI scans, that a woman's brain undergoes, you know, one of the most drastic changes during and post-pregnancy than at any other time in her life, even puberty. And why is this important to know? Because neurological changes, and by that I mean changes to the brain, they can and they do influence psychological health. By that I mean mental health and well-being and emotional well-being. In a 2002 study by the Imperial College of London, researchers had collected images of mothers' brains before and during, and then a year after they had given birth. You know, and they found that some of the areas of the mother's brains had shrunk and other areas had expanded. So at least as far back as 20 years ago, we know that about the brain changes. And then a more recent study, this one is in 2016 in the Netherlands, it compared the brain scans of mothers with women who had never given birth. And, you know, the results were so starkly different that a computer algorithm could pick up the difference. Mm. So in terms of, you know, mental health, there are profound changes. And of course, then they go on to affect a mother's mental health, mother's well-being, emotional well-being.
Mm. But there is a positive to this, right? I mean, what are the rewarding things that motherhood, becoming a parent, brings to women?
And those of us who have chosen to become mothers and are mothers, you know, motherhood is one of those things that, you know, you have to experience it for you to really be able to fully, for another person to be able to fully appreciate that sense of, I think even fulfillment doesn't quite capture what it is. I mean, for me, it is the most a joyful thing that I could possibly have done. Mm. So it's profound. Rightly so. It's an amazing thing, as we've got all these profoundly positive, sentiments attached to it. It is a miracle. It's a life-giving miracle. And, how do you, capture that in words?
Right. Yeah. Right. Of course, on the other end, the other extreme end, the exasperation that can come with being a mother is also, we know that well as well. And those changes to the brain that you talked about during pregnancy and postpartum, how does that translate into actual effects that we would see in mothers' emotions and behaviors? In what ways would it change the way a mother behaves?
Okay, so let's pick a phenomenon called mommy brain. And now, a mommy brain is something that happens where it's associated with forgetfulness during and also post birth. Now, there's good reason for this because instead of focusing on less consequential information, for example, what I had for dinner last night, the new mom brain allocates resources to prioritize the well-being of the mother, the well-being of the child. Another thing that it does is this process, it enables the development of something called theory of mind. Theory of mind, in simple words, means figuring out and empathizing with another person's needs and wants. So this is a very important, crucial development for caregiving. Now, okay, what does that mean in terms of, changes that we see? Positively, we see, of course, behavioral flexibility, the ability to put the baby's needs first. Many mothers I have come across, family, friends, clients, they go on to say that it brings about this ability to look beyond yourself. You find resources that you never knew you could, the depth that you could dig into, the selflessness that you are capable of. And, learning becomes better. All of this is to enable us to be better at caretaking. But like you also rightly pointed out, there's always another side to it. And on the other end, you have mothers who become very frustrated. And they worry, they are fearful. Am I losing my mind? Why am I forgetting things I never used to forget before, things I didn't used to struggle to remember? Am I developing dementia? I've heard that one before, right? Mm. So, you add to this mix tiredness and, baby not feeding properly, struggling with breastfeeding, and a host of other difficulties. The unprepared and the unexpected can bring on, it can be very unsettling also. Mm. Mm.
Question would be, how do you prepare, right? Could you ever be prepared for such vast changes, both physiologically and mentally? And, it has to do with what's happening around you as well, how your family members are sort of part of this ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, I can say today, as a mother who's been a mother for a quarter of a century now, my older daughter is 25. And when I look back at, 25 years ago, there was much less information available, and also the way you got that information. I remember reading this this book. I believe it might have been by Dr. Spock, actually.
Oh, Benjamin Spock.
Yeah. Mm. And that was my source of information. There were no videos to look up, so much of it is, that psychological horror, isn't it, that you're imagining because you're not quite sure. You have an idea of what is coming, what you're anticipating, but you're not really quite aware of the extent of what's going to unfold. So yes, to answer your question, you know, is it possible to prepare? Absolutely. And now with the information that we have, more than ever before. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I want to start diving into a more serious consequence of the mental health impact, postpartum depression. Now, we hear the term postpartum blues, and to a large extent, people will say it's totally normal to feel stressed or to feel under pressure, to be emotional during, or but especially after pregnancy, when you're really like hit with all those responsibilities and the stress of taking care of a newborn baby, right? So is there a difference between postpartum blues and postpartum depression? How do you make that distinction?
So you had started off asking if it's a normal thing to feel, you know, emotional changes. And yes, it is. It's very normal to feel that way for a short while initially. And onset of, you know, baby blues can be just a few days after a baby comes along. Because after giving birth, hormone levels adjust and then readjust for some time. And also, you know, the body is experiencing a kind of stress that it has never experienced before. In fact, even a mother who's has babies, second child, third child, that experience can be quite different to the first time, especially if there's a bigger gap between the babies. So every pregnancy leaves an imprint on the mother. And we know now that up to 80% of new mothers go on to develop baby blues. Now, okay, what does baby blues mean, mm-hmm. right? In a simple way, it's a short-term dip in your mood. You just feel kind of lousy, a bit sad and weepy. Perhaps I could, you know, because it's prompting me to think about my experience. And, you know, it's so vivid in my mind, although it was 25 years ago. And I remember in the first few days of I was holding my daughter. I'm absolutely in love with her. This is a planned child. My husband and I have lovingly and joyfully awaited her arrival. I'm cradling her in my arms. I think it was a Sunday afternoon. I'm standing at the window. I look outside. It's a bit gloomy. There's a bit of a drizzle going on. And the floodgates opened from nowhere. So sudden. So much so that I was weirded out with what was happening. Because like I said, I didn't know. This was something I did not know may happen. Lesser information that those days, right? I was not expecting baby blues. And it's a very strange feeling. And I'm trying to make sense of, you know, what's happening here. But it did go on for a little bit. And then, you know, 2 weeks on, I felt better. And then, funnily enough, my three years later, I have my second daughter. No incident of baby blues at all. So we know about 80% of moms. 80% means about 8 out of 10. So, you know, that's a pretty high incidence, right? And so this often begins around the baby blues I'm talking about, begin around 2 to 3 days. And, you know, you feel better after a couple of weeks. Now, when do you need to pay more attention? If it persists beyond that 2 week period, that's one. Plus, it becomes worse. You start feeling worse than you were. Then you need to give closer attention to what's happening.
Let's halt for a bit here and go for a quick break. And when we come back, maybe we can try to dive a bit more into what feeling worse means and help our listeners relate to, you know, if they're going through it or they're seeing somebody in their lives going through this and what to do about it. But do call us with your questions or thoughts if you'd like to find out more about mental health for mothers, if you're going through anything yourself, or if you're a mom, if you've been through it like Hiran, what advice would you like to share? You can call us at 03 7733 2900. WhatsApp our U mobile number 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Hiran Kaur, licensed counsellor, is in the studio for Counsellor's Corner, and we're discussing mothers' mental well-being. So stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. It's Counselor's Corner today, and in the corner is licensed counselor Hiran Kaur. We are discussing mothers' mental health. It's Mother's Day this month. Many of us are thinking about how to show appreciation to our mums. How about sparing a thought for their mental well-being, and especially for mothers going through pregnancy or who've just gone through it, just delivered. This is a particularly vulnerable time as they're going through these massive hormonal changes, dealing with lots of stress, sleeplessness, fatigue, people telling them what to do, uncertainty. So we are just starting to dive into these issues as well. But call us with your thoughts or questions, 03-77-32900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Whether you are concerned about your own mental health as a mom, for your wife perhaps, for your mom, or if something that you've experienced before, what advice would you like to share? So we started talking about postpartum blues, baby blues, and that unexpected, unexplainable, but short-term sort of weepiness and sadness that comes and hopefully goes. But what about when it stays and becomes more serious? So what do you mean by that? And how do you, how would you distinguish it as postpartum depression?
Okay, so with postpartum depression, about 10% of women go on to develop it. So a far lesser incidence compared to baby blues, 1 out of 10 moms. And I just want to backtrack a little bit, and like you like pointed out with baby blues, besides that sadness, the weepiness, you know, you feel irritable, tired, and you kind of swing quite obviously between emotions. One moment you think you're doing a great job, and the next moment you think you're, you know, really you're really not doing well at all. So the swing is quite obvious. But with now let's contrast that with postpartum depression type feeling. A mom starts to feel very hopeless, very worthless, alone. She cannot bond. She finds it very difficult to bond with the baby. She finds it difficult to eat, to sleep, to care for herself, to care for the baby. She loses interest in the things that, you know, she previously would have cared about and found joy in. Those things become hard to do. She may neglect her own health, baby's health. And this part is very important, because when a mom is anticipating the arrival of a baby, the brain and the body become hardwired. It's a reboot that happens that actually prepares you to bond with your baby. So that's a very telltale sign that you cannot bond. You don't like your child. You don't really feel any affection for your child. Caregiving may still happen, but you don't feel affection for the child. And that is a very obvious thing to pay attention to, because it's in stark contrast with what your body has prepared you for. And in some extreme cases, we get panic attacks. So it's so essential, if it persists beyond the 2-week period and the symptoms worsen, you should speak with a physician or with a mental health practitioner, because we know, evidence shows us, medical evidence, that either just talk therapy, or in some cases talk therapy plus medication, short-term antidepressants help to alleviate.
Are you saying that if it's depression, you don't actually swing, that you would feel those changes sort of constantly?
Yeah, excellent question. Yes, thank you for highlighting that. So yeah, the feeling of depression is quite constant versus you know, the swinging that I mentioned earlier.
So that partly answers, we have a listener, Avon, who messaged in, I'm a new father and my wife is a new mum, So he's asking, how do I tell if my wife is okay aside from asking her? Are there any signs to watch out for? So you've talked about, I think, baby blues. You've talked about the signs quite clearly. And with postpartum depression, you've described what a mother would be experiencing. Would it be obvious to people around her?
With postpartum depression, not always. Because in a biological sense, mothers are wired. Like I said, the system gets a reboot. So you are already hardwired to put the baby before you. That's a biological. And then in a cultural sense, and you know what is expected, to look like you have it all together. So a mother may not necessarily show signs versus something else I hope we will touch on later, psychosis. Now that's another kettle of fish, and that's more obvious. So with postpartum depression, not always, unless you are really paying very close attention, one. And two, the mom is also forthcoming with information.
So, you know, for husbands like Avon, who's really asking a very important question, what can they do to pick up that their wives are struggling?
I'd say look for behavioral changes. Those are the most obvious things, because thoughts we cannot see, feelings we cannot feel, but what you can pick up are behavioral changes and the way a mom acts. So if you're seeing either her doing, the mom doing things that she wouldn't ordinarily do, or you're seeing her letting go of things that she ordinarily liked to do, that is something that you must pay attention to, because that means there's a difference in functionality.
Does postpartum depression come on because mothers are struggling with things like breastfeeding, or perhaps other issues are coming in, or is it purely sort of a brain chemistry thing?
A large factor is brain chemistry, but postpartum depression can happen because of a host of other things, including financial difficulties, unplanned pregnancies, and not having a good, you know, social network, not having that sisterhood of moms, not having enough support within the family, friends, not having enough information, being expected to culturally go back to life very soon after the baby came. For example, let's say intimacy. You're expected to go back to intimacy like a week after the baby comes. You know, that obviously is going to put a whole lot of stress on the mom. Or if you have, you know, three children prior, or two or one even, and, you know, you've gone to sleep at 3 a.m. and you've got to wake up at 5 because your older child needs to go to school. So things like that, that you don't have, you can't avail yourself of help. And then, of course, you know, poor access to information.
But also, I think just being able to come to terms with the fact that you're struggling. Things like you said, you know, you feel like you don't like your child, you feel no affection. I would imagine your brain will just shut out that possibility and try to push through it, right? Because that's such a quote-unquote wrong thing for a mother to feel.
Absolutely. Which is why that is the one thing that, one of the things that should be a telltale sign for mothers and also the people around them, other caregivers.
Do women even know who or where to turn to for help?
Not always. From my experience, I've had family members who've called in who've, you know, have struggled with baby blues, and they did not go to their, you know, their sisters or their moms, and they called me instead, presumably because they think I may be able to help, but also because it's easier to talk to somebody that you're not related to as closely as your own, you know, family. Because there is that expectation that you should be functioning normally, and it's such a difficult thing to admit that you're struggling.
So you said earlier to see their physician or a mental health professional. And I suppose the physician or the, let's say, the gynae, the obstetrician would be somebody that women would be seeing regularly at that time, or even their baby's pediatrician. Could those be resources?
Yes, absolutely. I see moms referring to either a primary care physician, so by that, your family doctor. You know, the one that you saw when you as a child and then you continue seeing. Okay, those, pediatrician, or the obgyn. Mm-hmm. So these are usually the three sources that they tend to turn to for help.
Mm, yep. And again, Evan's follow-up question, I really admire the fact that, you know, a guy is messaging in to concern for his wife. As husbands, what are the key things we should be aware of to ensure our partners are in a good state of mind? So that support system you talked about, I guess.
Yes. Check in and see that what exactly is it that the mom is struggling with. So, for example, is it breastfeeding? Then that is a very specific area and you need to get help for that. Or is it caregiving? That means caregiving for the baby. What help can you avail of? Being able to identify with some precision what it is that the mom's struggling with, that is key to be able to help.
Mm. You mentioned psychosis already, and I did want to ask about that because we usually only think of depression affecting mothers. Psychosis or even anxiety, are those things to keep in mind as well?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, just because I get asked this so often and I have the opportunity and the avenue to address this, you know, I get asked so often, what is the difference between worry, normal worrying, and anxiety? Let's just look at that first. So when we talk about worry, it's usually connected to time, space, an event. There is a logic to that worry. There is a consequence because of something you did or didn't do. So, for example, did I lock the car? Did I feed the baby? So, there is a start point and then there is a finish point. There's an end to it. And it's usually manageable. And in a linear way, there's usually a trigger thought. Something prompts you to think about, oh, did I feed the baby? Okay. Next thing you'll do is, it puts you into a state of alert. You check, have you fed the baby? And if you haven't, you will. If you did, great. You fix the problem and then finish, done, right? That is worry. And it's usually rooted in some logic. Now, versus anxiety, usually that is connected to some form of irrationality. It's not usually logical to worry about something like that. And for example, are there snakes on the plane? You know, it's right. So, we've watched the movie, but is that a rational thought to have every time you board the plane? Not quite.
Baby seems to be doing well, not crying, but you're still having these circling thoughts of, am I doing enough? Should I be doing more?
Yeah, that's a great point to bring up because some anxieties, so again, not all anxieties are irrational because as mothers, as parents, we all anxietize about our children. We worry about their well-being and then we anxietize about their future. Is that an irrational thought? No, it's not. It comes with the territory. Mm. So being able to isolate and being able to put some logic to the anxiety helps for you to be able to decide, is this normal worry or, you know, am I anxietizing about something that I should anxietize about or am I now going into irrational territory? So I just wanted to differentiate that because I get asked that so much. But now let's go delve straight into the psychosis area. It's an excellent area to bring up. It's quite a rare condition. Just like baby blues and postpartum depression, it usually does come on in the first week after delivery. So in that way, that's the only similarity really, but it differs so starkly because in terms of severity, it's so obvious. You find mothers become confused. Beyond not a normal level of confused, we're talking about disoriented. There's a state of it's a disassociative state.
Like being disconnected from reality.
Yeah, from yourself, from the baby, from reality. Mm. And so by extension, what that means is caregiving suffers. There is neglect. And by neglect, it means the mother neglects herself. She may not eat. She may not feed the baby. Healthcare, bathing, cleaning the baby. So these are behaviors that are very, they're very dichotomous in terms of, they're just not normal behaviors that a mother would do with a child or herself. And then she thinks of hurting herself. She thinks of harming the baby. There might be a lot of irrationality in terms of everyone's out to get her or everyone's out to get the baby. And in the most severe cases, we see an actual carrying out of self-harm and also harming the baby.
Mm. In instances like these, obviously the changes are red flags, but also the fact that the mother, because she's disassociated from what's happening, she might not recognize that she's in trouble.
Yes.
What should family members do?
You need to get in touch with a qualified and trained mental health practitioner working in the area of motherhood and caregiving, because as in most areas of professional practice, mental health practitioners also they have areas of specialization, so not everyone will be able to work with all areas. So being able to identify who to go to, that's a very good start point. Usually, you can get references from your primary care physician or the OB-GYN or the pediatrician. And some doctors are trained through experience as well, they know how to what to do next. Some doctors are not, so that is where it's important to have there's a collaboration. You can refer to the right person,
and you need to talk to this mental health professional or healthcare professional very urgently, right?
Very urgently.
Right. We will go for another quick break and continue the discussion to look a little bit beyond that period of pregnancy and postpartum. You're a mother for life, really, after that. And what are the issues to be aware of even years later? How do we take care of mother's mental health, at any point in time, really? So call us with your questions or thoughts, 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio to hear more from licensed counsellor Hiran Kaur. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik, and my guest in the studio, Hiran Kaur, a licensed counsellor. We are discussing mother's mental well-being today. Call us with your questions or thoughts you'd like to share, anything to do with what affects mother's mental health, any concerns you may have, or any advice that you'd like to share. 03-7733-2900, the number to call. WhatsApp, a message or voice note, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Hiran, I'd like to go beyond that period of pregnancy a little bit to look at what's important about mother's mental health for the years to come. Issues like parenting stress, the burden of care work, the emotional responsibilities that a mother shoulders forever. you know, what are some of these issues that we always, and mothers themselves, need to be aware of, and how do they recognize signs of poor mental well-being as they go along?
Excellent question, and something that, you know, we must address, because like you pointed out, parenting is for life. Actually, I'd just like to take this opportunity to point out for other caregivers of babies as well. And by that, I'm talking about fathers, I'm talking about grandparents, I'm talking about, you know, even doctors, nurses in the NICU, that's the neonatal intensive care unit. Research has shown even their brains change when they come in contact with child caregiving. So that is how profound and, you know, how incredible this experience is. And so going on with moms, the start point is the mom. The mother needs to recognize that it's okay to not do it all by yourself. It's okay. Some things are going to change. And by that, I mean that you won't be able to do everything by yourself. Ask for help when you need it. Help can only be given if you ask. And, you know, you say to the people around you, I'm struggling, I need help. You know, be able to identify some areas that you think you need help in, from the children, from the husband, from your extended family. If it is an option to get a helper, get a helper. Prioritize. I really believe there are no evil parents. But I think there are parents who sometimes don't quite know how to do it differently. So again, if you have someone that you can sit down with, talk and identify what are the changes that you need to make, do that. If not, catch a professional, and they'll be able to identify, help you identify what are your areas of struggle. In fact, are you only just struggling, or have you gone into another, you know, the area of burnout? So speak to somebody and, you know, get the help that you need.
Mm. We have a listener who's asking, is there a stigma in the health or medical profession when it comes to recognizing mental health problems or stress that parents and mothers are going through? And how can we empower health professionals to provide that support? Do we need more mental health training, for instance?
I can speak from my experience, and that I think most healthcare professionals really are quite empathetic and they're quite informed. More often than not, you have people who, with their hearts in the right place, if they don't quite know what to tell you, how to help you, they will point you in the direction of someone who can. Very often the stigma is not so much from the healthcare providers as much as it's self-stigmatization. Mm. You self-stigmatize because you think that you should be able to do it all.
Mm. So you've talked about what mothers should do to speak up and reach out. What can we do to provide that support as well? Meaningful ways to support mothers in their shouldering of everything that they do?
I think a start point is recognizing that the mother today is quite different to the mother who was, you know, 25, 30 years ago, because most mothers today are working mothers. And we know that in spite of that, they contribute financially to the family, sometimes more than the partner. And yet, we also know that the household burden is mostly by the mothers. So it's so essential to recognize that the mom today is a working mom. And she comes back. I think so many of us who are working moms can relate to this. You know, you walk into the house, you haven't even really changed your clothes. I know I've done this a million times, you know, walk straight down to the sink and, you know, start working on the dishes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's the next thing and the next thing, you know, who's going to eat what today? Mm-hmm. You know, you may not necessarily cook on that day, but you'll organize dinner for everyone.
Yeah. Whose homework needs to be done and what time everybody needs to go to bed. And
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So that recognition that a working mom needs help.
Hmm. Absolutely. I think going beyond sort of tokenistic gestures, right? Perhaps we can wrap up, Hiran, bringing it back to, again, I think where things are most vulnerable for mothers and all the stuff we talked about, pregnancy and postpartum blues, as well as depression or psychosis. And really, it's frightening for mothers to think that they may have mental health problems, because your first thought will be, who's going to take care of my kids? What's your message of reassurance?
Okay. Can I just preempt that question just a little bit? Again, just because I have the opportunity to do this, and it's this excellent initiative by BFM, you know, to do this, because that network that you have to be able to put this information out is, you know, is wonderful. So let's just, I would like our listeners to have in their mind's eye three areas. I would like you to think about baby blues, postpartum depression, and psychosis. These are your three separate headings. Now, I like to talk about my experience with moms who I have worked with. Now, what I've seen with mothers reporting, these are their words, huh? And I've tried to capture it, the essence of it. Mothers who report baby blues, mostly they said they were happy when they were pregnant, they were upbeat, they were looking forward to welcoming the baby. Mothers who reported postpartum depression, they were already feeling a bit unsure and they were feeling down even before the baby came along. And then you contrast that with the other end of the spectrum. Mothers with psychosis were already feeling hopeless during pregnancy. They were already unhappy during pregnancy. So these are just thoughts to keep in mind in terms of how this might develop into, you know, conditions later. Mm. And with baby blues, there's this frequent reporting and the swinging of, I'm not doing a good job, but they're still bonding with the baby, shows affection, has love for the child. In postpartum depression cases, the mother doesn't bond with the baby, but still does caregiving, still does the responsibilities that come with caring for a child, but doesn't feel a bond. And then, again, with psychosis, doesn't want to be with the baby, doesn't want the baby, neglects childcare, obsessive thoughts about the baby, possibility of of harm towards the baby. So I just want to highlight that and just to keep in mind, because, you know, there's all this information that is presented because of the research that happens and all of that. But really, for regular folks, what you want to know is, what does this look like in real time, yeah, right? In layman terms. Mm, yeah.
But also those are very terrifying things to have to confront.
Absolutely.
So a message of hope and reassurance, Hiran?
Well, I would like to say that I have not come across a single case. And I have now worked with families, with children, and then by extension, parents for about two decades. I have not come across a single parent that was beyond help, where things did not improve. It did not get better. It always gets better. But please reach out. Please get help for yourself. You're not alone, so you don't have to do it alone. Just reach out, get help. And Malaysians are incredible. You know, we are such warm people, and we're so happy to, you know, reach out and help where we can. Mm. So use that.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today. Hiran Kaur, licensed counsellor, talking about mother's mental well-being in conjunction with Mother's Day this month. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.